Call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District. It's Wednesday, January 23rd. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director White.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Everyone is present and accounted for. We have the flag salute.
Ready? Again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number four, the agenda review is... Does anybody have any suggested changes?
Not here.
I have none.
No.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I move that we approve the agenda.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved 5-0. Moving on to item number five, public comment. Tom, are we still doing speaker forms?
Nobody filled out speaker
forms. Okay. Is there any public comment?
There's
I see Ms. Tacker.
No speaker forms there.
Okay. Good evening.
With regard to, before you start my time, agenda review, it's a little confusing tonight where the public is allowed to speak. There is no public comment deeper into the agenda. I'd like some clarification on whether the public can speak to the public hearing item for the garbage in addition to their other opportunities. Just some clarification for that.
That's actually a good point. There is a public comment under 9B. That's the increase. But we normally have one before business items, so which would be between 10 and 11.
So are you going to add that then?
Yeah. Does anybody object? That's the way we would normally handle it. I didn't see that when we...
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't we move to approve the agenda as modified then to add an item. Why don't we call it 10B, which will be the public comment after break. Any objection?
None.
All no. Right.
Did I get a second?
I move that we create a 10B for public comment.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And then my other question about the garbage. You have a 6-minute maximum on your...
Yes, that's correct.
So are you going to give someone 9 minutes to be able to speak to the garbage?
No, we still have 6 minutes. If you'd like to allocate time between that, that's fine.
Mr. Martin, is that accurate? Is that really... The public should be able to speak to the items on the agenda, and the special item that is a public hearing item should be allowed its own 3 minutes.
If the rules are as they are stated, it's the regular policy, including the public hearing item.
Mr. Guerrero.
Thank you. If you can go ahead and start your public comment then. Thank you.
I think I want to kind of regroup, if you don't mind, and let someone else go before me, and then I'll come back for public comment.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And if you recall at your last meeting on January 9th, you received a mid-year report from your general manager. And unfortunately, I was cut off during my comments in connection with that item. And so I'd kind of like to pick up where I left off last time. And I'd like to make a couple observations about your general manager, that Mr. Geislin really does as little as possible to get by. And for the most part, he tends to work on items that really are not at the forefront of the district's business. And I'll just give you one example. The over-the-road fees or the off-highway vehicle fees. Mr. Geislin spent untold hours working on trying to squeeze money out of a process where, if he would have researched it in the beginning, he would have realized there was no way. If he would have read the law that related to the matter, he would have realized that he was wasting everyone's time. But he went ahead anyways. Then it doesn't appear that Mr. Geisland either knows about government, because he's a private sector guy and he's made that clear. He doesn't know about government procedures, or he simply doesn't want to learn them, because he repeatedly makes mistakes in that. He's simply a liability. And I noticed that on 13B, you have an employee. It's not really a review, but a discipline. It's in closed session. And my suspicion is that's Mr. Geisland. And what I would urge your board to do is consider terminating Mr. Geisland with cause, because I think there's ample examples of that cause.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Tack.
Thank you. I think I'll use 2 minutes if I can, Carol Ann. I am Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to items not on the agenda. I'd like to speak to the agenda itself. I believe the agenda itself in several ways violates the Brown Act. There is no opportunity for the community to speak to your consent calendar or your reports. There is no way for the public to know how much money you are planning to spend later on in the agenda. 11B, there's a discussion about a jetter truck. There is no jetter trailer. There is no amount of money for the public to be able to come here and participate. The farmers market seed fund, whatever, there's no amount of money. There's no staff reports for the public to become educated. This is a disservice to your community, and this is a pattern. This goes on and on. And I recall an agenda in October that I think 4 items were completely scrapped for this very reason. You do not have the amount of money and what is suggested, whether it's an approval or maybe it is just an update or a discussion, but if Mr. Geisland is asking for you to spend any money other than what's in the warrants tonight, then this agenda violates the Brown Act.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing none, let's move on to item number 6, special presentations and accommodations. There are none. Item number 7 is the consent agenda. Is there any board comment on it? Or is there a motion?
Actually, I will recuse myself because I was not here.
On item 7A or for the entire?
For the minutes of the regular meeting.
So we'll take it actually as.
Can I ask that we put the warrants under business? Under reports, under. Under business items be pulled from the consent agenda, and because of the amount of the warrants, I just want a little bit of a, you know, community explanation. So
okay.
I've gone through it, and I think that it's important that other people should understand it.
We should have done that under item 4.
Yeah, I usually do that, but.
Right. I don't have a problem with that. But Karen?
Tommy, are you okay
no
with
problem.
That?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. So it looks like the first motion would be to move cash disbursements under item 11. That would be 11H.
H. Thank you for accommodating me on that.
I'll make item 11H the warrants, cash disbursements.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So then we'll be on item 7A. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of January 9th, 2013, regular meeting?
I move we accept the minutes from January 9th, 2013.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 4-0 with Director Hurdle abstaining, or recusing yourself, excuse me. Moving on to item number 8A, OCSD Operations General Manager Tom Geisland.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This past week, we hit a major milestone in our technology and the way that we handle problems. Before, we used old, antiquated systems to warn us when things were going wrong in the field. And early Saturday morning, we had a power failure. And what caused the power failure was a Cutis americana, or affectionately known as a mud hen, had climbed up in a power pole, that everything in the beach area was terrific. Now,
that was on a Saturday, right?
That was on a Saturday morning, but on or around 6 a.m. in the morning. So the beauty of this is that we've spent $156,000 in one, getting us to comply with the California public health drinking water requirements. And because of the past system failures that we've incurred, to me, this was a major milestone. Now, because we can simulate it as a drill, but it's just never the same until something goes wrong. And I'm totally pleased with the way that it went. Now, we still have some fine-tuning to do. We've got some issues with the sand district that we need to work out, which I've already had discussions with Mr. Wallace. And our own team internally, there's a couple things that we could have done just a little bit better, but it's basically just adjusting a procedure that we already had that we tested under fire, and it went really well. So this weekend was it could have been bad, because if the auto dialer doesn't work properly, the sewer backs up in the beach area and we have issues. And I've said this before, one of the problems we have there is that when they designed it, nobody put a bypass in, so there's no place to move the sewer once it goes, so we would have had to activate Vactor trucks and that type of thing. But the good thing is that it went as planned. There's no programming changes that need to be done. It's just internal procedures that we need to modify. The other thing is that since Christmas, we've had 15 after-hour service calls with relates to pipes breaking, vandalism, and it's kind of taken a toll, because when the service guys have to go out at night, in the middle of the night, and then fix it, and then they got to come back and they're trying to do their schedules, I've kind of put the brakes on some of our activities, so they got time to get caught up because of all the stuff that we've had to fix. Some of you I've taken for tours on the yard, and you will know that 80% of the compliance issues are complete. And tomorrow we are going to finish the lift station upgrade, which is a very big chore, because we're going to replace the major valves there. And so we have Vactor truck ready to take care of the problem. We've got all the equipment has been preloaded and pre-staged inside the wet well itself. So when they hit it tomorrow, knock on wood, it goes without a hitch, and we'll have upgraded valves, and that'll be the last thing that we need to do there to get that in compliance. And so my field staff, they've gone above and beyond to make this happen. I'd like to remind everybody that we're basically 3.5 guys, and for the amount of work that they do, it's really something that the people of Oceano need to be proud of. During this process, we just finished a deal of meter reads, and then we had a break to when the bills come out. The bills will come out next week. And so we took the time and we analyzed everything that we did during that, and we discovered that we have a couple technical flaws there that need to be addressed. For some reason, one of the handhelds has more problems than the other two. It's 19-year-old equipment. We have to get to the bottom of that. And then we fine-tuned the fact that the reports that we were getting out of Tyler weren't reflecting sometimes what we were actually doing, and somebody was actually creating another spreadsheet to document the stuff, and it was more like, wait a minute, we need to not do this. The software should be able to handle it, so we're in the process of rewriting that procedure. And it's a communication between the office staff and the field staff that are bringing this together. And it just so happened that we had a good block of time to go take care of that, and we're in the process of that. The other thing that we've done is we've closed, or not closed, but we did a six-month analysis on where we stand as a utility, or as I like to say, company. And I'm sorry, I'm going to leave a couple for the audience here. And the reason why this wasn't in the board pack is because we tried to have it finished on Friday, but we had some stuff going on that created some issues, and we finally got it finished this afternoon. So what I'd like to point out is, as you know, when I presented the fourth quarter fiscal year end, we finished $157,000for reserve contribution last year. This year, things out to their appropriate fund, and that's why instead of giving you a single line item now, you're getting it by fund, which we did at the end of the last fiscal year. And for some reason, two cycles in a row, the sewer system is running at a negative. And so I need to get down and determine why that is happening. And quite candidly, I haven't had the time. But we will get that done, and I'll have an answer for you at the next meeting. Everything else appears to fund itself. And the other good thing is if we're going to be 100,000 positive, then I don't have to look too far to move some money over with your permission to the Farmers Market Committee and the Parks and Rec Committee. So I realize that this was last minute, but it's just something that needs to be put out there. The other thing that I did that I participated in, and I don't think Director Angelo needs one, so that'll be more for the staff. The other thing that I did was I positioned us within the IWRM to be the lead on the for the new water plan that's going to go into place. So we will be the lead for the South County. Now, the big confusion is, well, is it RAC or is it this or is it that? So it was very convenient that they put on here how the IRWM functions. And we are the IWRM is a technical group that will analyze everything that's going to go into our new regional water plan. And Director Angelo and Director Lucy were at the meeting with me today, and this is all being driven by the state. And I've said this before, the beauty of this for us is that we already address a lot of these issues within the NCMA. And as I've said before, I would challenge anybody to have their handle on it as well as we do. The difficulty is going to be is that we have to address QIAMA. We have to address all the agencies that are responsible on the MESA. We have AVLA will come into play, CSA 14, and then also San Luis Obispo. But Oceano is the lead agency for the South County, and we will work to generate a solid plan. So the kickoff meeting was today, and we worked to this brochure in a big presentation, which they didn't give it to us in advance, but I have asked for copies, and we will be driving the boat for the South County. So I'm really proud of that effort as well.
Tom, I really want to thank you for stepping up to the plate and taking that leadership role, because the funding is always kind of off balance in our eyes, and by you stepping forward and taking that, I think that it, as a board member and as a community member, it really made me feel a lot better about the whole plan. So thank you very much.
Well, I felt too that the reason why, and actually Director Angelo and I tried to get involved with the last grant process, but we kind of got shut out. It's kind of like the way you function and the way I function and the way the staff functions. It's lead, follower, get out of the way. And we're going to We're going to take the lead, and we're going to try and bring all these issues to the forefront that we already know about. And the beauty of it for us, too, is, and you can attest to this, when we said we were going to do it, a lot of people came over and were excited that somebody else was going to take the charge on that. So it's going to be a good piece of work, and I think Courtney and Carolyn Berg have got a big plate on, I mean, a pretty full plate with this, along with all the other stuff they do. But from the synergy in the room, I think that it's going to be a real good situation. So the way it works for the people at home is our county is divided up into three groups. There's the North Coast, the South County, and the North County. And the North County covers Paso and the inland part, and then the North Coast covers like San Simeon and Harmony and all that area, Cayucas and that area up there. And there's two other people that were appointed to take the lead for those sections. And then we came to an agreement that we will share some of the obstacles that we run into and keep that communication wide open. So I'm really proud that Oceano took the lead on that. Somebody made mention of the off-highway vehicle fees. And I need to remind everyone, several other people service them with our water and our sewer. So it was only a natural progression that we went forward with this. Then when I got into it a little farther, I said, hey, maybe, just maybe, I can come up with a good enough reason that they could give money to OCSD. And I did read the law, and there is a part in the law that is up for argument. Yeah. And we have brought that to their attention. And last Thursday, I attended, along with four other people, Joel, Chief Arnez, myself, and two other people, a grant workshop. And we went through it, and we described things. And guess what? Oceano CSD has a good possibility of getting those grant monies or part of those grant monies. Now, it's a little bit premature for me to say that, but that's how I left the meeting. The other thing is the way that it was written was that 501c3s and nonprofits also have access to those funds. So for example, the Oceano Kiwanis, because they're a 501c3, if they want to do something that they think is going to benefit the Oceano community and the people that use the beach, they can put in for that grant as well, just like the Five Cities Eco Rotary can put in for that, just like any other group that wants to be involved in Oceano. They can all fill out a grant and put it in, and then it'll get weighted. And, you know, they have a numbering system, and it just depends how we fall out. But I was brought up a long time ago that if you don't try and lay out a plan to succeed, you're never going to get there. And I need to remind everybody that when we first looked at this, we were told that the county had taken $250,000 and put it aside, and the reality is it turned out to be $450,000. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that everybody needs to realize is this money, which is about $160,000, will be divided between a 60-40 split, where the county, i.e. the Sheriff's Department and Public Works and that, will have an opportunity to take 60%, and then the 40% is going to go to the people. But the original intent of this was to go get money, and this was back when Chief Mike Hilbert was here, to go get money to repair that vehicle so we can maintain the quality of service that we provide our guests and the people that provide the economic benefit to this community. So that's where we are in that.
Can I have the audience keep the comments down, please? It's distracting. Thank you.
Then the other thing I wanted to bring up is I attended the Coastal Commission reception in Pismo Beach, and it actually worked out rather well, because it turns out that I am very good friends with the mother of one of our coastal commissioners, Wendy Mitchell, and I had no idea that Wendy was on the Coastal Commission. I knew her as Wendy Souza, but she turned out to – she was there, and then she introduced me to three or four, and then when I first got there, I met our alternate as well as the head people. Now, some people will say, well, what is a dyed-in-the-wool Republican doing at a Coastal Commission meeting? Well, last time I checked, this is a bipartisan position, and I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Green, Independent Party. If there's a problem to solve, we're going to work it. So, and I also would like to point out to those watching at home that my daughter was raised a Republican, but she married, at the time, Senator Harry Reid's legislative assistant for Las Vegas. And when I made the tour of the Capitol 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I was the guest of Senator Harry Reid, which last time I checked was the head of the Democratic Party. So it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It has to do with solving problems. There's a couple other highlights I want to bring up. We had an NCMA meeting, and at that NCMA meeting, we have a monthly. There's different opinions or on the appeal. I was chartered with getting with our legal counsel, Nossman, out of Los Angeles, to get a complete written for the board and for the public to explain the difference between the two sets of rights that are in question. A lot of this has to do with safe yield, and NCMA is still maintaining, along with both legal counsels, because PISMO has their own, and we, AG and Grover, have our own. Both counsels said that clerk got it wrong, and they're petitioning the clerk to rewrite a portion of it. But our rights are intact, and we will have something that we'll bring before all the boards so that everybody's on the same page. And then finally, on a happy note, this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from 10 to 4, that's January 26th and January 27th.
Lessons from this, having talked to some of the people involved, is that the hazard plan that's been put into effect, the joint operations, some of our guys have wastewater treatment licenses,
correct,
and they were unable to get into the plant,
right,
and so I think we're going to need their codes and passwords.
And neither was PG&E, and I've talked with Mr. Wallace about that, and we're going to put that all in play.
Right.
So our guys would never go in and just start doing stuff.
Correct.
But they would be there to assist. And in this case, PG&E could have got in there a lot sooner, had somebody known the code. And there were, I believe, two gentlemen on site at the Sand District, or they got there when the alarms went off, and they were busy making sure that their whole system was operating and they weren't in a position. So it's just one of those things that we need to work out and get a little better.
I want to ask you, I know that you've worked on the emergency preparedness plan, you know, for this area. And since, you know, the problem with the gate getting in and it's actually, should I bring it up right now?
Go ahead.
You know, this last week I have Charter at my house you know, they're religious about us paying our bills, you know, on us all the time. So the minute my Charter goes down, I'm on the phone, right? And so actually my Charter had gone down 4 times this week, right? And so on the 5th time of it going down, you know, and I also get my bill credited too, you guys. And so the operator forwarded me to the field rep. And he said, the whole entire Oceano area is having trouble with the Charter communication. And I said, what is the problem here? And they said, where we keep our equipment, the electricity is down. I said, where do you keep your equipment in this town? And they said, the sanitation district. I go, you keep it at the sand district? And they go, no, the sanitation district. Mm-hmm. It's at the foot of the airport. I go, yes, I know. I stopped using the term sand district quickly. But the operator had forwarded me out to the field manager. And what he explained to me was that the power from the sand district, he didn't know if the entire plant was down because he couldn't get through the gate. Okay, but he knew that there was not power getting to the Charter communication equipment. So I go, I look through my warrants for the sand district wondering, well, I see where they have the AT&T cellular tower, but I didn't see where they had leased to Charter communication or Dish or Direct or any of those. So it's important that these emergency preparedness plans do come together, because there was three utilities waiting there to get in that gate in that little tiny sanitation district. Charter, PG&E.
Well, I only knew about PG&E because we assisted them, and they came by to check on us to make sure when they saw us hooking up the generator, they wanted to make sure we had certain things in play, which we automatically do. So, so I don't know about the others, but we are going to tighten up. And you know, there's nothing better than an actual event to test and see where you're at.
Yeah, just make sure the plans coincide together too. One triggers the other. Thank you.
Well, good work, and thanks for showing up on Saturday morning, Tom.
No, that's all right.
Any other questions for Director, or excuse me, for Manager Gieselin? All right, moving on to item 8B, Oceano Farmers Market. Chair Mary Lewis. Good evening, Ms. Lewis.
Good evening, directors and general manager. I'm Mary Lewis. I am the chairperson for the Oceano Community Farmers Market. And unfortunately, I'd have to begin with an apology for not being at the other meetings. I feel that my voice should have been heard, but I'm here now. And I'd like to begin with a short explanation for those who are not familiar with the OCFM. The Oceano Community Farmers Market is the result of a grassroots effort by area residents to bring a farmers market to Oceano. And we came together out of mutual interest in the well-being of families, friends, and neighbors. And our first meeting took place in October of 2012, and the beginning was extremely informal. It was really just a group of people who were trying to come up with ideas of how to get this thing started. And then after we got more of our bearings together, we've since met monthly at least, and we've elected committee officers, myself as chairperson, Rio Portes as vice chairperson, and Jackie West as secretary. And between then and October, we've developed several more people to actually make it happen. Our goal is to have it open by April of 2013, so we have a lot of work to do. We are looking at doing some advertising in the local papers. We are in contact with several vendors for semi-firm commitments, and we also have a short list of sites in Oceano that we think would be suitable for the farmers market. We have a basic financial estimate that was constructed by our finance subcommittee, and we're currently looking at approximately $4,500 in startup funds. And this estimate includes about six items from our report, as well as including county filing fees. And this was a number that we just did not have until this point. And it was merely just an idea, and we're getting the information. And so now I present that to you, to the board, and ask that you include this approximate budget in your 2013 budget. And as we have more costs, I'll be bringing those to the board as well, and you know, seeking your approval for that. So in closing, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and I expect this process to be an ongoing conversation between the board and the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Liss.
Thank you.
I actually have a couple of questions, Ms. Liss. You said people should contact you. What's the best way to contact you?
We actually do have a Facebook page, okay. And I would say that's probably the best.
All right.
I check it daily. It's a great place to get a hold of all of us.
What's it called, the Facebook page?
I actually don't have the address, but I imagine if you search for Oceano Farmers Market, it should come up. Otherwise, I have contact information, and I'll send that to you guys.
And perhaps we can put a link on our site to it. I don't know if that's possible.
We can handle that.
And then just a suggestion. Maybe the farmers market could solicit some sponsors. Maybe some local businesses would be willing to sponsor.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely.
Just a thought out. Just thinking out loud.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I think that figure goes along with what Julie Scott Andrews presented when she first came talk to us. That's right in the ballpark. That's very good, Mary.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Well, I had good helpers.
I'm sorry, I got one other question. Do you feel comfortable with the way the accounting is being done and the books are being kept?
For the part that I'm involved with, again, it's a very informal association. We're just looking to bring something to the market. I know that that number is going to be subject to change, whether decreasing or increasing. But I have every confidence that it's going to be taken care of one way or another.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 8. Do you want to add anything, Director Hurdle? This is kind of your...
No, other than the fact that we are very excited, and with the starting date looming quite quickly, we do have a lot of work to do, and we're inviting the public to please join us at our next meeting on the 4th, and your interest and participation is greatly appreciated. And thank you to the members of the committee that are here tonight, too, showing your interest, your extra time. Thank you very much.
Thank you to each and all of you for what you're doing. Thank you. Moving on to item number 8C, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Oh, yes. We have a question. Oh, yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment on the farmer's market. Is that possible?
It's not actually not time for public comment. We are going to have a public comment session after the public hearing, sir. Moving on to item number 8CA, Director Angela, do you have any outside committee reports?
Yes, I do. I attended the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, and basically the information that was received was the budget and how much money they had saved this year. The overall expenditures are budgeted by $297,800 or 12% savings. These savings are related to the continued operations and maintenance, which is under budget by 8%, which is $131,000. And non-routine O&M also had savings of 43%, or $89,600. And as it went down through there, there was also a 12% savings for capital outlay, which was $81,819. Those particular items there were from the pH suppression project, which has been canceled at this time, but probably will be picked up later on down with the Prop 50 match. Also, they billed all the agencies for December 12, 2012, which received credits of $478,532. And as far as the overall, and that was most of it. Also, we have going to be put on the agenda for March's meeting for the Zone 3 to be hosted here in Oceano, and that will be on the, I'm not sure what the date was, where they put it, I had it in the morning, but the 21st, okay, that was close, I was thinking the 20th, and that's pretty much a lot of discussion on new board members and stuff, so that was mostly the items that were of interest.
Great. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Director Angela?
It's the
21st of March?
It's the 21st.
Okay. Moving on to item number 8B, 8CB, excuse me, Director Hurdle?
Yes, I attended the Quad Cities Fire Authority meeting on January 18th. And during that meeting, we passed a resolution to change our times. Our days are still staying the same, the third Friday of each month. We've changed it till 2 p.m. And we also had a motion that we consider the alteration of the NBS, which is the company that is doing our presentation, putting together our work for the special district or benefits assessment issue.
Consultants?
The consultants, thank you, Mary. And what we'd like for them to do is to make a presentation to the governing bodies. And we passed that motion, so there will be future presentations from the consultants to all of our board. And we're looking at towards the end of February, maybe early March. We also passed a motion to standardize the process of the weed abatement and the sale of safe and sane fireworks. And there will be a presentation made by the chief at our next meeting. Yes. And that step will help the fire fire authority to coordinate the process of the weed abatement. Right now, they're doing all three entities, Oceano, Grover City, and at Arroyo Grande. And each body has a different timeline or time frame, mm-hmm. so they just want to get it all done at the same time and the same process for the sale of the safe and sane fireworks. And I look forward to that because that will streamline some of the work that they've been having to do. And I'm very pleased with the way the JPA is running now. We had a budget report, and we're doing quite well financially, and looking forward to moving forward with the assessments, if that comes about, which will help us maintain, once again, our equipment and replace equipment, which is vitally needed. And it will be a great safety asset to the community as well, because it will allow us to meet national standards for fire suppression and meeting, getting to the areas of concern in a speedy mm-hmm. and safe time. That was it. Thank you.
I was telling Director Angela earlier that I saw there was a fire at Rudy and Angie's restaurant on Monday. They're the Mexican restaurant over there by the Wells Fargo Bank. And it was good to see. They put it out quickly. And I saw that Cal Fire had backed them up. And everybody had responded, and it was put out very quickly and professionally. So,
mm-hmm. and we have a good crew. We have a great yeah. group of people. All of the firemen that I've met are so conscientious, and they're under good leadership too. So,
they all had that post-fight energy. Yeah. You know? they were stoked because everything went well. So, they got to fight fire. Go ahead.
I just have a couple questions, and you got to sure. help me here. Is that for some reason, I have all this time on my hands, and so I'm going back and reading all these documents, right?
Okay.
And catching up. And so I just finished the MOU.
Yes.
With the JPA,
yes.
right? And now, correct me in the areas I'm not right, is that that Grover Beach did not have enough funds to come in at the same level or the certain percentage that the other entities did. And so there was about, and I'm just going to call it a gift, mm-hmm. right, between $90,000 and $120,000, and there was a few sacrifices made on behalf of our firefighters.
None of us were pleased with that. However, the need to move forward was the concern, and the firefighters that made the concessions in this MOU are really the heroes in this.
Yeah, I kind of see the ratepayers as the heroes, to be honest with you.
Actually, the ratepayers, as well, but the sacrifice that the firefighters made, they are contributing to
yeah.
quite a bit of what.
How much did the JPA spend on getting consultants in to present them becoming a special district? That was
$64,000.
So they spent $64,000. They budgeted that in, right?
Right.
But they didn't budget in the 90 or 120, because I can't figure out which one it is. 90,000 that we just held our breath on, or 120,000. They budgeted that in.
Yes.
But they didn't.
I would like to put that on.
Send me to the chief?
No, pardon me?
Send me to the chief.
No.
Do you want me to jump in?
No, if you'd like.
Yeah. What happened was First of all, the ratepayers directly pay for a fire. It comes out of property taxes.
Correct.
So we take a percentage of our property taxes, and that goes toward paying our share of the fire department, the JPA. When it was originally put in place, it was they did a pro forma and a guesstimate of what it was going to take to make that happen. And the economic downturn hit, and one of our sister cities took it on the chin a little bit more than other groups did. And it was proposed then by their political arm that they needed to get cuts from the fire department. So this was a one-year contract. As a matter of fact, we're starting, we're laying down the groundwork now to get the negotiations for next year's MOU. And when that goes into play, those cuts that they were taking are now supposed to get adjusted back up. And that was a commitment that...
So the firemen took a 5% cut from the Oceano area, correct?
No, they actually got an increase. Oceano firefighters got an increase when they all joined, when they all became one unit. Oceano's firefighters were below what everybody else is making, and actually Oceano firefighters got an increase.
I didn't read it that way, but I'll come in here.
Because you're in the second year into it. The first year, when they put it together, Oceano was here, everybody else was here, and they created parity by raising Oceano firefighters up to that level. The issue came that when Grover Beach got hit with their redevelopment, monies were disallowed, and they had to pay the money back.
Which is in the Community Development Department, which is a totally separate...
Because they borrowed money from it. Okay?
I understand.
It's Grover's issue. They came forward. The firefighters made a concession.
Yes.
But there are steps being taken right now to eliminate that in the future.
Right. And as I said, Mary...
And the assessment district's only part of it.
Right.
64K of it.
No.
The assessment district sounds completely different. Assessment district is what they're looking...
The consultants were hired to
put the assessment together.
Right.
To
do the feasibility study. Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Moving on to item 8CC. That's my report. There was not a sanitation district meeting last week. The meeting is currently scheduled for tomorrow at 6 p.m. here at the OCSD. Excuse me, if the agenda is not posted yet on the website, it should be posted by now. And you can go ahead and take a look at that. I invite everybody to join us. Moving on to item number 8CD, Director Lucy.
I attended the Grover Beach City Council meeting. There was an RFP release for $93,000 to finish the end of Grand Avenue. That was awarded to Mr. The Wallace Engineer Group for $105,000. And you probably saw in the news them breaking ground. But the RFP was for $93,000, but they gave the Wallace Group $105,000, and they expect it to go even higher probably. And I attended a couple other meetings. I attended the meeting with Tom this morning, which I thought was an excellent meeting, and explained the importance of the county master water.
Director White?
Yeah, I didn't have any meetings of my own, but I went as the alternate to the fire meeting. And the one thing I wanted to add to Thelma's report is that the fireworks, the individual entities will be able to select, as they always do, the specific nonprofits for their community that will sell fireworks. It's the other parts of the fireworks program, when you start selling, when you stop selling,
the
inspections
times,
and all that.
Yeah.
That is what the fire guys will make the same, so that if you're in Oceano or Rio Grande, apparently, or Grover, you're going to be able to start selling fireworks on the same day and quit and all that.
That's
and cool. The other thing I have is Oceano Advisory is Monday at 3 o'clock here, and I know there's some consideration of plans and stuff on the agenda.
Thank you, Director White.
Yeah.
Moving on to item number 9, public hearing. It's the South County Sanitary Service solid waste rate increase review. Somebody on tongue-tied. I believe that we have Ron Zakur and William Statler. Morning, or good evening, sir. How are you?
Well, good evening. We'll see how well my my technology works here.
The question is,
well, that was answered that question.
Well, fortunately, he copped to that, or else I would have been very flustered with my inability to work a remote, which my wife will tell you I seem to have no problem with whatsoever at home. So, with that,
you know, maybe
Board members, I'm delighted to have this opportunity to share with you briefly the results of the rate review that I performed on behalf of several agencies. And if you could push the button now, it would be great. Analyzed the rate requests from South County Sanitary Service really for four agencies, the City of Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and the Oceano Community Services District. If you push the next button. There's several reasons for doing the rate review jointly. First off, all of you have similar services. In fact, actually, under your most recent franchise agreement, you have the exact same services as the other three agencies. You have not only similar franchise agreements, basically based on your relatively recently new agreement, they're exactly the same. Both of them adopt the same rate review methodology, and the financial information for all of those agencies in the South County are very closely related. So there's really economies of scale in doing the report, the rate review for all agencies combined.
Can you slow down a little bit, sir?
Three key findings. South County Sanitary Services.
Can you slow down? You're talking
sure.
Very quickly.
South County Sanitary District has provided all of the supporting documentation that they're required under, I'm sorry, this should say the district's franchise agreement with them. They provide a very comprehensive level of service, curbside trash, recycling, and green waste at very competitive rates compared with similar communities. In fact, I think you have among, even with this proposed rate increase, you'll have, I think, the lowest rates of all of the surveyed cities in the Central Coast. And they've done an excellent job of managing costs and revenues. So next bullet. So I'm recommending that you approve their rate request, rate increase request for 3.2%. Next slide. Should point out that the rate increase that they've asked for, 3.2%, it's actually less than the rate increase they would be allowed under the rate setting methodology. That would be 5.4%. And this is really based on a provision you have in your franchise agreement that says if their rate request exceeds the cumulative increase in the cost of living since you approved that franchise agreement, you have the district has the option of terminating that agreement within 9 months. So this provision doesn't directly limit South County's ability to ask for rate increase. They would have been allowed a 5.4% rate increase. You could have approved the 5.4% rate increase. But any time in the 9 months after you did that, you could have terminated their agreement. So to avoid subjecting the agreement to a possible termination, I think that provides the South County Sanitary Service with a pretty strong incentive not to ask for the full rate increase they would be otherwise entitled to. Next bullet. Should come down. And actually, that cost of living increase, that threshold that would avoid triggering the potential for termination, that's actually 3.25% when you do the math. So their rate increase of 3.2% is not only less than the 5.4% they'd be otherwise entitled to, it's actually slightly less than that threshold that would otherwise trigger that option. So that's one of the reasons I'm recommending that you adopt the 3.2% increase. It avoids that trigger for termination, and it's less than the amount they would otherwise be entitled to under the adopted rate-setting methodology. So next slide. So perform the rate review. Why go forward in doing that if you have this provision? Well, maybe the rate request and application supporting documentation had follow-up discussions with the agency and with staff, and then performed rate reviews of other Central Coast communities. Next slide. Are the costs reasonable? That's the first question. Really looked at that from three separate perspectives. First, performed a detailed review of costs and changes in key cost components for the South County Sanitary Service, compared their cost increases with the Consumer Price Index, and then looked at rates in comparable communities. Next slide. Their operations for the entire South County operations, a little over $10 million. 50% of their costs are for the basic labor in collection for the vehicle maintenance and operations. Then they have to pay the tipping fees at the landfill, have to pay the 10% franchise fees. So basically those four key cost components, that's over 75% of their total costs. Next slide. So what's a reasonable return on those costs? The rate-setting methodology really allocates their costs into four key categories. The first one really is their operation and maintenance costs, which are called allowable costs. They're allowed to earn a profit on those. Second category are pass-through costs. Those, the key ones are tipping fees and franchise fees, and they're allowed to recover those costs, but they're not allowed to earn a profit on those costs. They have one category called limited costs. There are limits on how much officer compensation can be, and this is to avoid rate increases that are driven by the owners wanting to pay themselves more for doing no work just because they own the company. And then there's a fourth category of costs, and these are excluded altogether. Political contributions, entertainment, income taxes, fines and penalties, they're not allowed to earn profit. They're not allowed to recover those costs at all. Next slide. So here's they are allowed a 92% operating profit ratio on their allowable costs. And even within that, we would still only make adjustments to their rates if their ratio fell between 90, outside of 90 to 94%. Again, as I pointed out, no profit allowed on pass-through costs, tipping fees. It's the cost for the fees at the landfill and for green waste. And their franchise fees, they're allowed to recover those, but they're not allowed to earn a profit. No revenue for excluded costs. Really key provision, there's no retroactivity for the past. So if they have lost money in the past, which they actually have, there's no provision in this methodology for them to recover that. We reset the bar and we look forward, but there's no provision for retroactivity. And there's two key components to implementation of the rate methodology and the franchise agreement, and that's to perform a detailed review, like we have this year, of their detailed costs and revenues every 3 years, and in the interim 2 years, make an interim increase based on consumer increase in consumer price index for operating costs and any significant increases in their pass-through costs like tipping fees or franchise fee rates. Next slide. So here's the basic kind of a history of rate increases going back to the last base review, which was performed in 2007. They had a 3% rate increase. In 2008, there was no rate increase. In 2009, there was no rate increase. In 2010, there was no rate increase. And normally, that's when South County Sanitary Service would have submitted an application for a base year review. But because they didn't ask for a rate increase, they didn't submit the base year review. So in 2011, last year, they did ask for a 5.15% rate increase. That was driven almost solely by increases in the landfill and for green waste tipping fees. And we used an interim year rate methodology for that year with the recommendation that when they come back in 2012, they should follow the base year review. So we got out of sync for about a year or two with the base year reviews. With this base review, we're kind of back in that cycle, and you can probably expect interim rate reviews in 2013-2014. Next slide. So conclusion in doing the rate review, their costs are reasonable. The proposed rate increase meets the reasonable return criteria in the franchise agreement. And again, their requested rate increase of 3.2% is actually less than the allowable rate increase of 5.4%. And in fact, it's actually slightly less than that CPI threshold trigger of 3.25%. Next slide. So here's what that 3.2% rate increase means for residents in Oceano. As you'll notice, for the 32-gallon container, that's about a 40-cent a month rate increase. And again, I think when you look at how this compares with the other agencies that we surveyed, I think you still have, if not among the lowest, you may have the lowest rate, residential rate of any of the other agencies. And last slide, I think, ask if you have any questions.
Actually, Mr. Statler, I was going to suggest maybe we take public comment now. If there's any questions posed during that time, we'll have you back up. Is that Mark?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, sir. Is there any public comment on this issue?
I didn't receive any other than I got three.
That shows that you have $13,000 in your garbage fund. This reserve should be building. My question for you, as the fiscal responsible directors that you are, is does the district really need to pass this rate increase through to, yes, you may have the lowest rate garbage in your communities, but you also have the lowest income residents in these four communities. You, in 2011, these same people were hit with a water rate increase at the same time they had a 5% trash increase. And this is a conversation that really should have been had prior to tonight. But I think it's something that you could still do. You might adopt the increase, but not implement the increase. And I think you need a full analysis of what your reserves are for your garbage fund, what your intentions are for your garbage fund, and do the residents of Oceano really need to have this increase added on?
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? All right. Seeing none, are there any board questions? The next one up. It's coming up quick. Is there any other board questions for Mr. Stanley?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Director White.
I have a little dilemma here tonight because I have found out that Halcyon, where I live, is not a part of the Oceano District Franchise Agreement for garbage. Now, Halcyon is a part of the Oceano Community Services District, but for trash pickup, it apparently is not. And right now, I'm paying $16.39 for 33-gallon pickup service, and I guess that's all of Halcyon. So we're far higher already than anybody else, and I don't know why, and I don't know why we're not a part of this agreement, and I'm totally mystified, so I also don't know whether I can vote or not, because I'm not a part of it. And maybe somebody, that gentleman there, could explain why Halcyon isn't a part, if it's a part of the district, why it isn't a part of the franchise.
My personal opinion is I think she can vote because it's Oceano Community Service District business and you're on the director's board.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Chase is not in his head.
What was that again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
She's on the board.
I'm elected at large.
She's elected at large. It's an OCSD business matter, and so she should vote on that, would be my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Because Halcyon is in the sphere of influence, so
it's
organizationally all integrated all the way through. Why would you pay a different rate?
That's a good question.
Well, I don't know why Halcyon pays a different rate when we're part of the district. Maybe somebody there can explain it to me.
Where's Tom?
I mean, I realize we are a different code or something like that.
You know, I don't have the direct answer to that. Looking at the gentleman that's representing South County Sanitary, he's sort of shaking his too. If you turn to page 11 of my report, you'll see that in Oceano, the 32-gallon containers are $12.94. With this increase, and you'll see that I see that there's an $18 rate for basically the 64-wheeler and a $36 rate for 96. I don't see any other rates here for those that are at least within the Oceano Community Services District. If you don't think that's the rate you're paying, I think maybe a call to the business office
would be the rate I'm paying. I have my bill. I know it's not the rate I'm paying, and I have the smaller container. So, I mean, I know what my size is and what I pay, but I'd like a decrease in pay and fees. Anyway, thank you.
We can't have part of the district paying one rate and the other part of the district paying another rate.
When this came up before, I researched it, and the People's Temple, Halcyon area, is their rates are set by the county of San Luis. They're not set by part of the district. And that's a, I never got a far, further answer than that, other than that their rates are lumped in with the county's rates.
Tom, that's Temple of the People.
Sorry.
We're a little touchy about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So what is the county's rate?
Whatever Karen just said.
No. Sir, excuse me, can you come back up to the mic, please?
It doesn't
Usually
have
Tom
health
comes and presents on this. So can you tell me what the county of San Luis Obispo pays?
I'm sorry?
Can you
I didn't
tell
quite catch
me
that.
The rate the county of San Luis Obispo
for these four agencies?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Can you understand our dilemma, though?
I'll stay here till I'm dismissed.
Do you understand what our dilemma is here?
I'm sorry.
Do you understand what our problem is here? Do you understand what our concern is? You spoke of tipping rates. We're not talking about tipping rates. We're talking about one neighborhood being charged one price and the rest of the town being charged another price. That's what the discussion is here, sir.
I'm sorry. I thought I responded to that. If someone is paying a different rate than one is reflected here, I think within the Oceano Community Services District, I think that's really something you'll need to call the business office and clarify, because I believe if you were living in the Oceano Community Services District, you should not be paying different rates that are in this report. Now, if you're within the South County area and you live in Pismo Beach, are the rates different? Are they different in Rio Grande? Are they different in Pismo Beach? Yes, they are, for lots of historical reasons and different rate structure philosophies. But if within the Oceano Community Services District, people are paying different rates than what are reflected in the report, there's a billing problem there, and they should be paying the rates that are in this report.
I live in the Oceana Community Services District. I represent the Oceana Community Services District on this board. I do not have Oceana Community Services District garbage rates. I have a different set of garbage rates. And what I was trying to find out is why, if I am a part of the district franchise agreement, because I'm a part of the district, I don't have district rates. That's all I was trying to find out.
The only quick answer I could give you is it's
Call
a billing
the office.
It's a billing error. You're being charged an incorrect rate.
I don't think it is.
If you are, and again, I can only speak to what I'm familiar with in terms of the rates. These are the rates that I believe are in place in Oceana, what the new rates will be. If there are people who live in the Oceana Community Services District that are paying different rates and are reflected in the report, I really think that is not something I can respond to, but it is something you should give the, you know, South County Sanitary District, and I think there will be somebody here who's waiting for that call in the morning, to discern why there would be a difference. My quick answer would be, it's an error that you're being charged the incorrect rate, and for some reason or other they are picking up a rate that is from some other area within their service area. That's the best answer I can give you, because these should be the rates that everyone that lives within the boundaries of the Oceana Community Service District should be paying the rates that reflect in this report. And if you're not at the 98% level, because there's always a 2% chance there's some mystery in the universe, I think it's a billing error.
And what I'll suggest is that
it's
we have...
It's a regional error that Halcyon is not, in this particular situation, considered a part of the Oceana Community Services, because all of Halcyon is paying a different rate. But I will get to the bottom of it, and it's not your problem, so thank you.
I only looked at the rates that are in the city of Rio Grande, the city of Pismo Beach, the city of Grover Beach, and the Oceano Community Services District. There are other agencies and other unincorporated areas within that service area. I didn't look at their rate structure. I didn't look at the rate request there. I know they're being requested the same 3.2% rate increase, which the city of Pismo Beach approved last week. I don't know about the other agencies in the county. I can only tell you if you're paying a different rate, or if anyone else within the boundaries of the Oceano Community Service District are paying a different rate than what are reflected in this report, I believe that is probably a billing error, and it's probably something you'll have to correct with the South County Sanitary Service. But that's the best answer I can give you.
Mr. Statler,
that's the best answer I can give you.
Mr. President.
Go ahead.
Yeah, may I please recommend that we table any action on this item
yes.
until we get further clarification of these issues?
Let me be as clear as I can. Your franchise agreement is really clear that the rates you adopt and the rates that are here, I know are the rates you adopted back in 2011. The rates you adopt are the rates that are supposed to be applicable to everyone that lives within the district boundaries.
That's
so,
right.
And if it's, so that's why I'm saying, you know, I hate to repeat myself. If that is not the case, you need to call South County Sanitary Service because I believe it is an error in their billing system that you were paying an incorrect rate. Can't tell you that's 100% fact because I don't have access to the records and I'm not right. In charge of their billing operation. I can only tell you under your franchise agreement, there is not a provision for there to be different rates within your boundaries for different kinds of neighborhoods or different kinds of customers. It sets forth these rates. This is what's in the rates that are shown here as your current rates. Certainly the rates you would adopt tonight through this resolution, those are the only rates that are supposed to be in place within the Oceano Community Service District boundaries.
Call the question.
What I suggest is we have staff follow up and see if
it alters the nature of this financial analysis at all, because I know they're within the billing operations, and the 3.2% rate increase is certainly warranted under the franchise agreement you have. If there are some members of your community, which I don't think would be an overwhelming number, that are paying a different rate, that just means we need to correct that error. I'm 100% confident of two things. I'm 100% confident that the rate analysis supporting 3.2% is valid. I'm equally confident no one that is in the Oceano Community Service District boundaries should be paying different rates that are what are in this report, because that is what your franchise agreement calls for. And in reviewing your franchise agreement, I didn't see where there's any provision for people who live west of this block or east of this block
yes.
to pay a different rate.
There is. Halcyon customers have their own codes, HH960 or HA960 and HA060. Oceano is 970 and 070 for the Oceano Community Services District. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me, as Halcyon is a part of the Oceano Community Services District. But there's 16 square block area that is served by South County Sanitation, and I don't want to belabor this, that has a different rate. And we are a different code. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Apparently, my answers aren't what you're looking for. All I can tell you is this is the rate that if you live
yeah,
in the
I
boundaries.
Understand that.
Okay. And if there are different rates being charged in the billing system, then I believe that is just an error. I can't confirm that, but I believe that that's an error, and certainly an error that South County Sanitary Service should correct.
Thank you.
Now,
President Matt.
Now let's. Hey, Mary, let's bring it back around.
Matt,
let's proceed.
I think we need to double check to find out what the issue really is. Is it because they're a sphere of influence with the Community Services District? Is that why they've established different rates? Or is it just an error that this all should be under the same rate? And I think once we get that answered, then we'll know where we're standing here.
Well, that was the answer that was given to me by the South County Sanitation District, passed to me by Tom. But I thought maybe these people would know a little bit more of why it happened. And I will assume it is just an oversight that somewhere in the county we got a different designation, because people forget that we're in the Oceanic Community Services District, and maybe it can be straightened out, and maybe it's just we should just leave sleeping dogs lie. But I'm still going to pay almost $17 a month for garbage with the new increase.
Well, the reason we're here tonight is the rate increase application and to consider the protests against the proposed rate increase. I think that's a question that we can answer otherwise and
yes.
figure out what the billing discrepancy is mm-hmm. and whether or not, like Mary said, whether or not there's a refund due, or, you know, I'm sure this can be answered if you were back at your office looking at your computer, is my guess. That's why I was going to ask staff if they could make contact and you guys could discuss this later in the week, if that's okay. Tom, is that all right with you?
Mr. Giesling, do we have time to put this on the next agenda? Do we have to take action on this tonight? Are we supposed to take action?
We were supposed to take action at our first meeting, and we tabled it so that we could get more of a Right. More people get the community to come forward and protest. Director White did ask me that why wasn't Halcyon listed, and I called the garbage company, and they said that they fell under the a parameter with the county, and their rates are set by the Board of Supervisors. And that was the last I heard of it until tonight that it was an issue.
Let's move on.
We've already tabled it once.
Sure.
My staff report says that if you look at the cost increase, you're talking maximum of $6.78 and a minimum of $4.20 for the whole year.
Per bill, did you say?
Per whole year.
Per bill, yeah.
Per bill.
Total, they bill six times, just like we do.
Right.
So six times 40 is $2.40. And if they have the larger can, the large one, it's $1.13, which is $6.78. And typically our larger customers, you know, I don't have the breakdown of how many people there are. I believe it's in the report. But you're talking a $2.40 increase over, worst case, a $6.78 increase.
And actually, we did receive a written communication from Ms. Tacker. We'll attach that under 9B to the minutes of the next.
What we received and what we received tonight, we haven't gotten any calls. The only other call I got was from Director White. Why isn't Halcyon included?
Moving on to item number 9D, resolution number 2013-1, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting the integrated solid waste rates. And I do have a copy of that resolution here. It was attached to the packet. Does anybody have any questions or comments on it? And it does have an attachment that's Exhibit A, which references the 3.20% increase. If there's no board comment on this, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution number 2013-1 regarding the adopting integrated solid waste rates.
I have a motion. Is there a second? I'll second it then. Carol Ann, can we get a roll call vote?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
No.
Vice President Lucy?
I'm going to... No.
Director White?
Yes.
Motion carries by a vote of 3-2 in favor of the resolution.
No, that's fine. Can I ask that staff look at including Halcyon? We know they're not in the in the data set, but they need to be in the mutual agreement that we have, and that's the only reason why I voted against it, not because of the finances, but because that area is not included in this analysis, and I'm sorry, you know, you can disagree or whatever, but it's not there, so you know, that's why I couldn't vote for it. I know that if Tom was here from South County Waste Management, he would have had the answer. He would have known exactly why that area has that rate.
Unfortunately, Mr. Martin had to be in Houston.
Correct.
For advanced garbage.
Yeah, he always comes, you know.
Safety. I know. I asked him specifically, and he told me very succinctly that it was set by the Board of Supervisors. We have a similar problem with their water system. Their water system should fall under our situation as well, but it doesn't. Is it supposed to? I don't know. Did anybody have the time to take a look at it? I mean, when did the annex of Halcyon take place?
Halcyon was always a part of the district. It started out with a fire district. It was part of the fire district.
Part of the fire district.
So it's always been a part of the district.
So in my estimation...
But the water system goes back to 03.
Somebody missed something.
No, what I think happened is that when garbage service came into this area, that's when the codes were set up. So it's not just... And the only reason why we're catching it now is because Halcyon has a true rep on this board. But the bigger problem is that they're not part of this agreement. You know, and of course we can fall back.
I'll
on the spirit,
take the
but
action
to
get with Mr. Martin and get it straightened
the agreement.
Out as
that's,
soon as possible.
That's
right, Tom.
My
thank
issue.
You.
Thank you, Tom.
And I'll report back next meeting.
Item number 10 was a break, and if you come back for 10B, that'll be the public comment. Yes, Carol Ann?
What?
Go ahead. Can you speak into the mic, Carol Ann? We can't hear you.
I forgot 9A.
No, 9A was the review by Mr. Statler. We had that.
Am I looking at something different?
You must be. Okay, it's
right there.
8:08 p.m. We'll break till 8:15 p.m. See if I can get a quorum here.
Class action lawsuit by the people of Halcyon.
Absolutely.
South County Sanitation. No, County of San Luis.
All right. Call this meeting back to order. It is now 8:20 p.m. Oceano Community Services District. We are now on item 10B, which is public comment. There's a young man here.
The members of the board are familiar with that, or hopefully it could be implemented into the farmers market. That was my main,
oh, thank
my
you.
Main question.
And at the next meeting, I don't know if you've been to any of the meetings. Perhaps
no. I'm very new to the, obviously you can see, Oceana Community Service District meetings. And back in the area, I was traveling abroad for a while. Hope to get more involved, too.
Great. Excellent. Well, I suggest you contact Director Hurdle and share your energy.
All right.
Thank you.
See you on the 4th.
Is there any other public comment? I see Mr. Edwards coming forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Jeff Edwards. First, I'd like to suggest that public comment on business items really should follow the business items so you can get the best advantage of the public input. That continues to be a problem. I'd like to make a few remarks about the farmers market. I don't want to rain on your parade because I think the farmers market is a good idea in the right context, but I'd like to make a couple observations. Number one, a farmer's market of this nature requires a minor use permit with the County of San Luis Obispo. I've actually done one of those in Cambria as a professional planner. It takes about 9 months to do that. So I think your start date of April may be a little bit early. I think maybe April next year might be more appropriate. Also, I don't believe that a farmer's market is a legitimate function under a parks and rec power of a CSD. The problem there is, I mean, it appears obvious. If you look at a parks and rec code, this isn't the kind of thing that falls under it. This is more commerce related. And it ties into what money you can spend. You have a resolution that Mr. Chase prepared, Mr. Martin prepared. You've been spending money there with legal counsel. Your general manager has been spending money. You're talking about $4,500 in seed money. You can't just take that from any account and put it towards the farmer's market. So I think you have a number of procedural and structural problems with this before you can actually get it off the ground. And maybe the most important thing with regard to a farmer's market is that the idea is that you have a farmer's market, draw people Oceano, and they're going to love it, and then they're going to come back, similar to what's done at Savor with your big poster here. I would respectfully submit to your board that maybe it'd be good to clean up Oceano first and then get people here so they come back, because right now under this scenario, I don't believe they're going to come back. So there's a couple comments there. With regard to cash disbursements that you've now moved down the list, I posed a question last time. Why do you have increased insurance premiums with your insurance carrier, Philadelphia? Why is that? You were paying $3,000 a month forever. Now it's $5,000 a month, plus I'm seeing another bill on this week's disbursements. So I'm kind of curious about that. Also, you have a Henry Weinstock bill from the Nossaman Law Firm, NCMA, where they're managing your groundwater away. You also have another invoice from Water Systems Consulting, Inc. No telling what that's about. Is it the grant feasibility that your general manager has thought about? I question those disbursements. And then lastly, this question of a district engineer RFP under 11A. I would suggest to your board that you hire a new general manager that also has engineering expertise. Thank you very much.
Mr. Edwards, you just abused the privilege. Ms. Tacker, you have 2 minutes left.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I will start at the bottom of your agenda and go backwards if I could. The closed session items, item 13B, I think Mr. Gieslin is a liability to the district. Item 13A, I know some of the facts in the Thomas Hill case, and nowhere in your ordinances does it speak to the district's ability to sever someone's water line. You do have a mechanism to get money, but you do not have the legal right to cut the line and then still collect money. 11G, Presley and Associates. This is a sole source contract. This is a retroactive contract. I've brought some concerns about the Presley firm to you in the past. I am resubmitting the last two letters that I wrote to your board that have never been attached to any set of minutes, and I expect them to be attached to tonight's meeting minutes. With regard to the Jetter, there's no staff report, there's no money, there's no way that the public can speak now about an item that comes later. Mr. Martin, there is something seriously wrong with the procedures of this district. Again, 11.
I worked with Director Lucy and Director Guerrero on preparing this RFP and took some ideas from some of our other neighboring communities, Nipomo and Rio Grande, and also some ideas from CSDs further away up in Sacramento and other areas north of here. It's a compilation of a number of RFPs that I saw, but also some original ideas. It came with the packet that when it came out on Friday, so I'll probably just have any questions about it that came up when you guys were reviewing it.
I have none.
Director Hurdle has a question?
No,
I'm sorry. Director Angelo? I have a couple of questions / comments. Let me start with Director White, and then we'll go to Director.
No.
Vice President Lucy?
No, I'm sick of it.
Okay. We spent a lot of time here. Under D1II, is that confirmation of the receipt or conformation?
II.
The receipt. It's on page, Oh, that is a typo. That should be confirmation.
That should be confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then I think right below that on 4, the email address, I think email is supposed to have a hyphen. Sorry, I'm being picky. This used to be
this used to be
Vice President Lucy's job. To.
No, I got sick of it.
And then under 2.
I'm sorry, where's the email?
Email, and it's under IV, 4.
Under 4.
Yeah.
I've seen email both ways, but we can do a hyphen.
It's right there. It's TH.
What?
27.
Oh. True. And then under D2VII, which is 7, should be meet the needs, the second line. Brief description of how the firm will complete / meet the needs of the districts. There'd be an S on that. We have more than one need. And then on IX, which is 9, we have a inconsistency. In one place, a 3 is spelled out, and the next time it's 3 as a number.
Okay.
And just for consistency. Since I already went over the content of it, this is just... and then I did have another question. The proposal submission, we're having them submitted to General Manager, Mr. Thomas Gieselin. That's not our mailing address. This is just our street address. Do we want to include the mailing address for mailing, which is the P.O. Box, or do we want to only have the street address? Now that's substantive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can always, of course, include the mailing address. I'm assuming certain firms, maybe local firms, will just come by here and drop it off.
Oh, for the when they drop off their proposal?
Yeah.
Is it? We get mail here also?
We get mail in both places.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They should drop it off at 1655.
Okay, that's fine. As long as we get mail here, I didn't want to create an issue. Because, like, at my business, there's no mailbox.
No, we have
it's
a
just
PO
a PO box.
And we also get door delivery at 1655.
All right. Is it, I think, Manager Gieselin, you had the opportunity to review this. The timelines look workable for you?
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Okay.
Let me ask you, is on the date, isn't it supposed to be like TH after, like February 26th? Is that grammatically correct? I don't know.
Both are?
Yes.
Both are correct?
Yes.
Okay.
If there's no other comments or questions, I don't know if you've had the opportunity. It was included in the packet to review it, and I'll entertain a motion.
I so move that we approve the proposed request for proposal for the district engineer.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. We can do a voice vote, correct, Chase?
Yes. You can. And this is to clarify, this is an approval of the RFP as amended just now.
Okay. I add that to my motion as amended.
You still second, Lori?
Yes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. All right, we're on the road. Item number 11B, Jetter update, review and discussion, read the adjusted cost of Jetter equipment. General Manager Gieselin.
Several months ago, this board approved for me, haven't had time to sit down and take it, to take it through the analysis portion, but and get you to approve the additional $25,000. Which the plan then will be is we will put $25,000 down and then still lease for a 5-year period the trailer, and then we'll owe a dollar at the end, and it's a standard lease package that we would get through our bank. The rate that we get it, if we keep it under $100,000, I think is, I forget the exact number, but when I come to you, I'll give you that. I know the monthly payment will be right around $1,300 a month. So, I apologize, but like I said, we've had 15 problems since Christmas, plus everything else. Director Guerrero requested this come back, and so that's where it's at. So there is no report because I just quite candidly haven't had the time to get to it.
But $1,300 a month, that's only...
I'm sorry.
That's 18, only about 15...
$1,800 a month.
$1,800 a month,
yeah,
okay. That
for
60 sense.
Months. Yes.
So, go ahead.
I did get the brochure explaining the entire system, and it was in color. It was actually quite nice, you know. But what I wanted to point out, and maybe Director Angelo can speak to this, is that for years and years and years, you know, the district operated, but we operated by the pennies and by how much baling wire we could buy, basically. I'm sorry to put it that way. And so this is the first time in my short 13 years in town, right, that there actually has been an infrastructure build in providing the best services we possibly can in the town. And so the ratepayers' money is going back into our system, into better quality water, better retention. It just goes back to the preventive. You know, prevention is so much cheaper than treatment. By putting that, thing, because I'm not a mechanic, I don't know, and, that triggered the alarm system, right, that prevented hundreds of thousands of dollars, not to mention, being on the hate list for the state. So I am so in favor of spending this money on building up our infrastructure. If we want to be a community, we want to be self-sustaining, you have to maintain what you have, and we've started maintaining this year. And I just think that it's so wise to do this. So, it saves us in renting the darn thing. It saves us in having to go out and borrow other people's and beg and rust coming down our pipes. And, thank you very much. And
I do, but I legally do need to come back to you.
Well, you can legally come back to me.
Come back. And that's what the problem was. And we do have backup. We have access to a vector through two sources, either FRM or Arroyo Grande. We've used theirs on occasion.
But I think my point was that the
you'd
people
rather
who
have
pay
internal.
The money
yes. right.
towards the district, their money is being used wisely.
But I want to come back to you with a solid number.
Mr. Gieselin, I know that you presented us with documentation at the first presentation and that you're coming back around. I would like to ask that in the future when you come back around that you would come back with documentation only for the sake of really being, I'm a visual person. I'd like to see it. And to me, that also is a vehicle for transparency. And at the time, when we come to our meetings, if the reports or the documentation is ready, that you pull the item off the agenda until it is ready.
That's fine.
Thank you.
So I think they just direct staff to keep working on it. Thanks.
I didn't hear that.
Just direct staff to keep working on it, doing what you're doing.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Item 11C, Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, appointment special district representative for calendar year 2013. There's two candidates, Muriel Clift from Cambria CSD and Dan Burgess from the Heritage Ranch CSD. There was a letter or a nominating form that was attached to the packet.
A letter from Mr. Clift. We never got anything from the other gentleman, and there's a ballot that we need to cast.
Anybody have any comments on this? I'll speak for myself. I personally don't know either one of these gentlemen.
I don't either.
I know Mr. Clift.
Yeah. And do you have any input on that?
No.
Okay.
I've watched him on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very
Cambria.
I did too.
Background.
He's on the Cambria CSD.
Yep. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he formerly was
Can
in
we
San
table
Maria.
This?
No, I think no. We have to vote. Yeah, we have to vote by no later than January 31st. We cannot table.
We got to vote on this.
Vote on it.
I'll make a motion that we send our vote for Muriel Clift for the LAFCO special district member.
And I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. I'll sign this now.
Do you need one of these from each of us?
I think I just sign it. Agenda date is January 23rd. All right, I'll give that to Carol Ann after the meeting, or Tom, I'll give it to you after the meeting. Moving on to item number 11D, schedule of subcommittee meetings, water, sewer, personnel, codification, parks, and recreation. The idea here was that for regularity and for managing the district, we have more consistent meetings. So why don't we start at the top, the community enhancement, which is Director Hurdle as the chair, Director White.
Uh,
Wow. I think that we should probably be meeting at least quarterly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, with that in mind, if this works for you,
I'm listening.
Okay. How about February 12th as our starting?
That's the Tuesday before our board meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that work for you, Director White?
Yeah.
Right. We'll put a set here on February 12th. Do you have a time?
Is there a good time for you,
Karen? Any time after 9 a.m.
Well, how about I suggest this, because the next one is the finance audit. We could do two on the same day.
That's perfect.
Because
yes.
Director Hurdle's on both of those.
Okay.
And then I could come in. So if you guys could do like at 12 or 1 o'clock, I could come in after that.
Okay, let's do 1 o'clock.
What day? I'm sorry.
February 12th.
February 12th. Not 1.
1 o'clock. And then mm-hmm. for finance audit, I'll suggest February 12th at 2.
Okay.
Actually, Tom, that's a Tuesday. Is that okay with you? I know you usually have, or often have Tuesday afternoons.
For February, it's fine. After daylight savings time,
that goes all change.
Right out the window.
Okay. Remind us of that when
Unless
it comes
my raise is consummate enough to get me to stick around.
Which
I got bad news for you, Tom.
So you're going to go finance at 1?
We'll do community enhancement at 1, finance audit at 2.
1 p.m. on the 12th?
Yes, and then finance audit at 2. And then, actually, Director Hurdle and I also have a personnel committee. That's the next one up. Would you like to do that one at 3?
Certainly. Let's just do it. That works.
Since we have a captive audience,
so I need to. The goal here is to set them for the whole year, so that's why
what
I have the calendar here. So
if we
do it once a quarter in February, are we going to come back in May?
Quarterly.
Okay,
that makes sense.
When in May would you benefit from that?
Carol Ann's going to help us with the calendar. May.
The convenient when you.
There you go, Carol Ann. There you go. Like Banna White.
May 14th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. May 14th, same time.
So why don't we put that in? May 14th, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And then we're into August.
And that's just for community enhancement, correct?
Yes.
No, that's for all three of them.
No, that's for community enhancement, finance, audit, and personnel.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree with meeting finance every 3 months. You got an annual budget coming up. It's too much work. You have personnel, you have organizational charts, you have staff changes. I'm sorry, I just.
Well, we have a finance committee February.
Yeah.
We could do April. I mean,
actually, the finance by then we should have the draft of the budget submitted, and we can fine tune it. If you want to do it sooner,
like March,
April,
April.
We can do it in April. Close the third quarter, but I won't have numbers until the middle of the month.
Why don't we go to the 23rd then, which is the fourth Tuesday, right before our meeting.
So make that a finance?
Yeah, April 23rd.
At 1?
1 o'clock's fine. Yeah, we do 1 o'clock.
Okay, we'll still keep the one for the 14th because I still think that needs work. I don't anticipate...
Carolyn, can you send us...
I don't anticipate a personnel. We do have stuff ongoing now that would address in February, but I don't see any. Of course, I didn't think I was going to have the problems I had last year either. So, but I mean, we can call it But I think if we meet once every mid-year, we should be okay.
For personnel?
Right.
Why don't we do the next one then in August?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Because we were talking about the community enhancement, we can do a finance audit and personnel that second Tuesday in August, which is...
Well, the community enhancement, you've got to remember, the county's supposed to be coming back to us in March.
Right.
So the February one is good. In the meantime, Farmers Market and Cinco de Mayo are going to take the bulk of that, and we're going to be meeting... Well, now, I'm meeting with Mary once a week, if not twice a week now, and then her team is meeting every two weeks. So there's going to be enough communication going on in that, and then we're in wait state mode on the county coming back in March, but they did commit, so that's going to create a whole bunch of activity there as well. So I think if we meet in February and then play the rest by ear, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. That's fine.
Because we're going to be meeting on those individual items almost weekly.
Right.
Then it almost cancels out doing a yearly calendar.
No, just that. We'll still have dates, but if we're already meeting twice a month on Farmers Market, and we're going to start meeting, LOC is going to, not LOC, but Cinco de Mayo is going to dovetail onto that. And the county's coming back in March. We don't know what they're coming back with.
Right.
Right.
We haven't seen the Caltrans report.
Right.
So yeah. I'm thinking that we kick off the one in February, and then I think there's going to be so much other activity that it's going to be redundant. And I'm trying to avoid redundancy since time is so precious right now.
You know what makes, now that we're talking about redundancy, is the community enhancement is really at this point based around Farmers Market. It makes the most sense for that to meet, for Director Hurdle and Director White to meet with that group.
Well, they do.
As the meeting, but count that as the meeting rather than have a second one.
But there may be meetings after the Caltrans that's beyond.
Right.
The way I see it is if we're going to establish meetings of committees, then let's have the meetings of the committees, even though there's things ongoing, because what is being established here is a standardized meeting of standing committees.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, that was the intent.
Well, then give me some dates to work with, please.
I think we were at August. Okay. And so the second Tuesday in
13th.
August would be the 13th. Caroline was way ahead of me.
So that'll be community enhancement?
Yes. Yeah.
At 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
And then that would bring us to November.
The November, the next...
12th.
It would be the 12th, yeah. Caroline, I'd like to buy a vowel.
Okay.
We'd like to buy a vowel.
August? Yes. Caroline, I got the dates on the calendar.
And so the other two on this particular one are the utility operations, which are water and sewer. That's Directors Angelo and White. So would Manager Gieslin, how often do you think that committee should meet? These are your departments.
You want to know historically when I've met?
About every 4 years? How often have they historically
met? No, actually, they met regularly.
Other directors can attend. They can't participate, but they can attend.
You can.
Yes, and I've attended many. You know, you just can't participate.
Right.
Yeah, let's see. What else is going on? Which days? Wednesday.
Director White, do you have a preferred day?
No, not really.
Wednesday.
Wednesdays are out.
Wednesdays are pretty busy.
Bad days for me are Mondays.
Now Tuesdays.
Because we have meetings with our technical groups, and Thursdays are bad also.
Yeah.
So it would have to be, and when Wednesdays are historically bad anyways, just because we're trying to get ready for the board meeting
right.
and stuff. So
how about a Thursday?
I'm thinking Fridays.
Fridays?
Yeah.
Fridays for me.
Friday's good for you?
Yeah, Friday's okay for me.
All right. Works for me then.
And not to keep pounding on the hit pass, but usually the person who runs the water yard is the one who really is runs this meeting, not the GM. Usually.
That's fine.
So
Aaron's more than capable.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's some room for you there, Tom.
Why don't I suggest the last Friday in the month? Or is that too close to holidays? Should be the
okay,
first.
Okay, so that
Friday
would be
month?
The 22nd. What time?
Of January?
22nd of February.
Oh, February. Yeah.
At what time?
Morning.
Lori?
Is earlier in the day better for you on Fridays?
What does it look like for the guys in the yard schedule?
Yeah,
what do you think?
What's their schedule?
For January, we're booked. We got confined space training on that day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, historically, are they busier in the mornings, or is Aaron more available in the afternoon?
It's just hitting. Let me know the time, and we'll make sure he's there.
Okay.
How about is mornings okay with you? Or
sure.
How about 11?
Okay.
Would that work?
So
earlier, I can go earlier.
That's the afternoon for Director White.
That's
so then,
okay.
The last.
Wait a minute. We're going to change
no,
that again.
The
no.
last Friday in March is Good Friday.
Yeah.
So make it the 22nd.
Wait. I'm still on the first month. Okay, so the 22nd of February is our first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
At what time?
11. And then the last Friday in April is the 26th.
Wait a minute. I'm still.
Last Friday in May is the 31st. Last Friday in June is the 28th. Last Friday in July is the 27th. The last Friday in August is the 30th, but it's Aaron's birthday, so we'll make that one the 23rd.
Wait a minute. July, you said the 27th?
27th.
That's a Saturday.
No, I'm sorry, 26th, sorry. So the 23rd?
August.
Of August. September, it's the 27th. October, it's the 25th. November, it's Thanksgiving weekend, so it'll be the 22nd. December, it's the 27th, so we'll have to make it the 20th. No, we'll be here.
20th is fire.
What?
Oh, that's in the afternoon.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the next one?
The next one is codification. That's Director Lucy and I. And there's never been a codification that since I've been here.
Well, there has been codification.
Since I've been here. There's never been a codification.
The
codification committee was created so the attorney could spend $44,000 on banked legal hours. This would be the only committee. But I don't believe that this is in our organizational structure. I believe this is a subcommittee. I can't prove it yet because I have to go back to the mountain of papers. But I do not believe that this is a freestanding committee.
So, a subcommittee to what?
Finance or policies and procedures, whatever it was.
Or personnel.
They might have introduced a resolution to make it a freestanding, but there'd be no grounds for it at this point. It was to rip up the records. I mean, I can't lie about it. You know, it was a hoodwink job. Oh, I forgot I was on TV.
Give it a little off, right?
Well,
how do you really feel?
Mary, always one to hide her emotions.
We'll have our first meeting.
Why don't we have a meeting?
September.
Determine whether you need a meeting.
Why don't we have a meeting, determine whether we need a meeting and what our duties and responsibilities are.
Great. We'll have that 2:12 at
4 o'clock, right?
4 o'clock.
No.
We'll have it 11.
I would say the 14th, but something else is that day. What is it? February 14th?
Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's why I can't remember.
And I've been ripping through my resolutions, trying to find the resolution that made this a standing.
Perhaps we can ask Carol Ann. She's pretty good with those.
Well, in the interest of time, can we just pick a date?
Yeah, why don't we pick February 15th, say 1 o'clock. That's a Friday.
1 o'clock.
2:15 at 1 o'clock. And we'll come back. We'll report back to the board as to what we need to do, if anything,
right,
on that. And
okay, so this will be a master calendar that hangs in the wall, and Carol Ann will also update the calendar.
Carol Ann, thank you.
All right. That was actually productive, and I think we probably should have been doing this for a while because we were at a loss with regard to some of the committees actually. No, it's okay. Moving on to the item number 11E. Parks and Recreation Financial Report, a budget adjustment for farmers market startup costs. I think, did you want to table this, Tom?
I would like to table it, but I'll give you an explanation.
Why don't you give us the explanation and we'll decide.
We have gone through, we have people on the committee that went and researched through the county, and then I exercised my connections with the county, and we just got last Friday the punch list from the county planning. So when the farmers market came about, I went to Jason Geffen, who's head of planning, told him about how this came out of the revitalization, and he assigned Bill Robeson to handle this, which I'm really excited about because for once, we're working with something real positive. For those who don't remember, Bill was the planner that worked on the medical marijuana thing.
The one pushing for it?
Which we defeated. Anyways, we got the punch list. The fees that Mary alluded to and that April had pulled doing their inquiries is accurate. It's about $4,000, but there's a fee waiver that I'm applying for, and then I'm also going out to the private sector to get funding from the private sector to get this going as well. And I'm also I have to determine how much, when we do a complete pro forma, what we're really going to be on the hook for. And I haven't got the insurance number back yet. And so there's a whole bunch of things that still needs to be done. But we are moving in that direction. We're going to prepare the minor use permit and get that submitted. Mary Lewis and I have a meeting with the county tomorrow at 2:30 to go over the application, which we've already reviewed, Supervisor Teixeira has also committed some of his community funds to this because he's all excited about what's come out of this as well. So I'm going to my Rolodex or notebook of all my friends to get them to help fund it. I'm writing a personal check to get it funded, and when I come back to you at the next meeting, then I should have solid numbers which we can go by. So it's generating a whole bunch of momentum. Mm-hmm. Right now, money's not the issue. There's talk about doing money for advertising, but the work's already being done. We're not going to post-date it. We're going to just sign it. It's basically housekeeping cleanup with my NCMA budget.
You know, I didn't notice the date on this, and I thought when I read it, this seems awfully...
No, it dropped. Yeah. Think back to what we were going through in July.
I don't remember. Can you tell us?
Say again?
I said I don't remember. Can you tell us?
It was front page news about one of our employees and his extracurricular activities and then all the things that came after that.
Okay, I didn't remember the
date.
Well, there's every month something different. So.
Yeah, you're right. We ought to get one of those wheels of misfortune and just...
We can have Vanna White spinning over there.
So I'm recommending
approval.
Approve.
Any board discussion on this?
And it's not about the grants. You already approved grants,
right?
But we haven't started up on that yet. And that's grants for water and sewer, not anything else.
All right. I'll entertain a motion then to approve the contract amendment to provide support services for the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group for fiscal year 2012-13.
I'll second that.
Okay. Looks like Director Angelo's.
She's personal. Why don't we take a few minutes break? Yeah.
Well, because we're almost a closed session. We're very close. Let's just wait for Director Angelo. And just by way of clarification, Tom, I think you already said they're doing this work. We've been performing under this particular contract. This is a housekeeping
matter. Right, that's correct.
That's right.
So you're going to meet with Mr. Robinson at the planning department.
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow.
You'll feel the love from that man.
Actually, I think we'll be able to expedite a lot of things through.
You know, I would love to see him do that because a lot of people, you know, we kind of felt torn that he was pushing for that project to be put into the unincorporated area and community was pushing back. So if it can bring a marriage between OCSD and the planning department, then I think that would be a positive thing because the love is not being felt.
Actually, our relationship with the planning department...
Well, I'm speaking with that one individual.
No, but with the will serve letters and everything that we've been generating, it's been very positive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
So. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Maybe some public relations as
well.
Are they coming back with the build?
So good.
Oh, the consultants? I spoke with Lisa Weiss. It was this week. I don't remember what day it was in particular. And she's the one. It's Lisa Weiss and Associates that are doing the consulting agreement. I had talked to them in October. They thought they were going to be in November, but she assured me that they'd be in March, that they've been working with Caltrans, and she expects to have a very large presentation for us on with all the plans and such. And she was very I've probably talked to her about every 3 weeks, her or Henry Pontricelli, is that how you say his last name? He's the guy with the ponytail that works with her. I speak with one or both of them probably every about 3 weeks, and they're very encouraged. They say it's going forward very well, and so I'm
great.
Still
did
excited.
Did they have a date?
Yeah, it was in March. She did not give me a firm date, unfortunately, but she says they've been in contact with Caltrans and things are going well, mm-hmm. was the report that I got. Let's just go ahead and do the vote. We have a motion and a second for the, this is under item 11F, the WSC contract extension. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0, Director Angela not being present. Moving on to item number 11G, it's the Presley and Associates letter of engagement, discussion and recommended approval. Tom, why don't you let it...
What happened on this was when we realized how bad the financial state of the district was, and worse, the state of the accounting using two systems and everything else, it was imperative upon me to bring in somebody that had governmental accounting experience, which Presley and Associates has a great track record. So I brought them in, and we've heard from some negative discussion that these guys are overpaid or whatever, but I got to remind you that they went through 3 years' worth of books with two different accounting systems, got it corrected, then realized that to keep us on the straight and narrow, he'll be that second set of eyes that looks at everything.
Okay, that's fine. This is a relationship, and it's not sole source. We already went through this process,
right?
With, and that's how they got selected. So again, it seems to be a housekeeping.
And what he does too is it gives us a. He becomes the, when the audits take place, he's the one that makes sure that everything that we have will pass audit, and then we hand it over to the auditor. Before, we never had the chance to do that. You just got your punch list and threw the boxes in, and
right.
You know, then you spent all your time chasing everything down. I don't want to go through that anymore. So now we have the ability, when we close the books on time and go through it, then he looks at it and says, well, the auditor's going to look at that. And that's kind of why with this, with the numbers I presented earlier, we caught some things that we found problems, and so now we're making those adjustments. So
right.
That's why I didn't have it on Friday. I had it today. So.
Okay. So I think we're going to have a motion then to approve the Presley and Associates letter of engagement. And if the minutes could reflect, Carol Ann, that Director Angelo is feeling sick and has gone ahead and gone home. So we'll just be four members this evening. And I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second that.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you for having them put that letter out. That was really helpful.
Okay. Could,
Director Lucy was the second. Now the next thing was the warrants for the cash disbursements. That
okay,
was
no, I
11H.
No, I just want to ask you, Tom. I wanted you to talk about the jetter. That's why I pulled it, but you already talked about the jetter. So
the jetter's not in the warrants.
It's the two water bills.
It's the water bills, which I said.
Right. Then you can talk about the water bills.
They bill them, you got to pay them.
Yeah. We get water. We drink it.
So the 600,000 of these, of the 630 is the, our biannual water bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's really cool about this?
We actually have
the money to pay it, and we're paying it on time.
Yep. You know what's really cooler about it? This is the first year it hasn't stung.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because, you know, the last general manager told us that it had been
last year, when I first got here 18 months ago, we had $500,000, or right a little under $500,000 that was still due, and nobody knew where the money was.
Yeah.
And then when we made this turn a year ago, we actually had the money, but we made them on time, just like we made them at the end of the fiscal year. But this is kind of nice because we know exactly where every dime is.
Right.
Yeah, it's embarrassing when somebody from Public Works calls you at home and says, hey,
so
I'm going
to pay
your water bill.
To you. And that's I cringe when I look at that $600,000.
That's how I met Pavo.
No, thank you very much.
So we need a vote to approve them.
I move that we accept the warrants. Thank you for moving them.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. I remember the irony of that the water company that didn't pay its water bill.
I know. I was so humiliated.
Utility items none. That's number 12. Closed session. We have two items. Closed session conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A. This is 13A from Thomas Hill regarding the water rates. And the record will reflect again that I previously recused myself because I live within 500 feet of this particular property and Mr. Hill. Item 13B, complaint or charge against public employee pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, subsection B, subsection 1. So we will adjourn to closed session.
It is. Going to take public comment?
Any public comment?
Is there any public comment?
Mary Jennifer.
Okay. I got it, man. it is 9:18 p.m. We'll adjourn to closed session.
Somebody else needs to send
it. I get a vacation.
We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 10:08 p.m. We were just returned from closed session. I'll report as to item 13B, complaint or charge against public employee. There is no reportable action. Director Lucy, since I recused myself on 13A, can you report whether or not there's reportable action, and if so, what that would be?
There'll be no reportable action tonight.
All right. Moving on to item number 14, board member comments. Why don't we
ensure that our entire boundaries are in there and that we're billed consistently.
Does that need to be an agenda item? Why don't we have staff?
Maybe we can just have a correspondence written to Tom Martin or give Tom a call or something.
If we need to bring it back, we will.
We'll get it straightened out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an easy fix. He's a really great man.
Item number 18, public comment, Jennifer. She's shaking her head no.
She's like, no way.
Number 19, adjournment. I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Have a good night, everybody. It's 10:10.
Who's second?
She did.